Now everybody, let me tell you a story about Hollywood shame. Where terrible actors and scripts collide. Oh, what a mess it is on the other side. Saw the lights, camera, action begin. But all I got was a movie that plunged in a spin. From the first scene to the credits that roll. Oh, Hollywood disaster, you've taken its toll. Silver screen says cool, bad movies galore. Can't help but wonder what the hell were they making these for. Throwing some cliches to shut the predictable plot. It's a train wreck, I tell you, it's all they ever got.
And now for our feature presentation.
Welcome to the Silver Screen Cesspool, where we review the poo. And now your host, the surveyor of cinema, the mocker of moronic movies, the terror of tiny town, the last known survivor of battlefield Earth, the one of many, Alan Smithy.
Tonight's film flop is Stephen Kang's Sharks of the Corn. Yes, you heard me right, Kang. K-A-N-G. Now, you may be expecting a Children of the Corn knockoff, but with sharks instead, and honestly, that would have made a lot more sense. The movie opens with a woman trying to seduce the local Kentucky County Fair's corn-eating champion. But he's drunk, so the obvious course of action is to invite him to chase her through the saddest-looking cornfield ever as she removes four layers of clothing she was wearing, leaving them sexily hanging from stalks of corn. But almost as soon as her breasts are exposed, she's eaten by a shark. Random shot of Stonehenge! But maybe it's not a real shark. Maybe it's this serial killer-looking dude wearing a gator with a shark jaw print. He shows up in the next scene and kills a hooker with a museum gift shop shark jaw. Damn it, Bruce, hookers are friends, not food. Random different shot of Stonehenge! So then a police officer who makes your average mall cop look like a rocket surgeon attempts, and fails, a dozen times to put yellow police tape around 30 stalks of corn. While a detective questions the unbothered corn-chomping champ 30 feet away, right next to the dead body. Just to be perfectly clear, the police tape was not going around the dead body, just corn. Making the scene even more wonderful, the detective was speaking to the police officer over the radio despite being 10 feet away and in the same shot. The police uniform is a police badge on a white shirt, half covering up the embroidery of the company logo that was actually on the shirt. Yet another random shot of Stonehenge! So the duo of crack international thieves, or maybe ninjas, or military special forces, I don't know, they roll up in a Kia Soul, break into an open-air shed of a shark cult leader, under the cover of partly cloudy by slightly crouching with the aid of black ski masks and black short-sleeve shirts. They steal a baby shark in a bottle, and the shed blows up, despite nothing remaining in the shed but cobwebs. Not even electricity. Then the ninja thief special forces get killed by a guy shooting spitballs out of a Starbucks straw. And he doesn't even have to reload between shots. Then another buxom woman enters the cornfield, calling out for her lover. I don't know why everybody wants to bump uglies in this particular cornfield, because it's not the cornfield across from my old high school. But this woman runs into Bigfoot instead of her lover. random CGI rendering of Stonehenge! This movie spent its entire makeup, costuming, and special effects budget at Spirit Halloween on November 5th. And we're only 20 minutes into this movie. I can't go fast enough to keep up with this movie. The corn goes from tall and green in one scene to dry and standing in the next, and then back again and everywhere in between shots. We get the expected exposed shark fin scene, but it's clearly going through a wheat field, not corn. In the police station, the one posters are four copies of Ted Bundy's wanted poster, another four of the Zodiac Killer, I think, and a few more just appear to be flyers for the band playing in the bar next door. Random shot of Stonehenge. After dark. The remaining characters were clearly written based on what Halloween costumes were available, because there's no other reason to have a 10-year-old blonde girl in a Beetlejuice costume trying to play a mob hitman. The movie stops just short of bringing out the bat shark repellent, but that's because it's shark repellent bracelets. Just like the one for mosquitoes, but for sharks. Back to the first shot of Stonehenge! You see, all of this is happening because the corn farmland is on the burial ground of an ancient shark-worshipping cult. Lots of sharks to worship there in Kentucky. If you ask me, they're just a bunch of freaks on a leash. We were going to make this a drinking game and do shots every time we saw a cornfield, but then we had a better idea to get us drunk so much quicker. Random shot of Stonehenge! Drink! Sharks of the Corn is available on Amazon Prime.
Silver Screen Cesspool is written, directed, and starring Alan Smithy. Assistant director, producer, and stunt coordinator, Alan Smithy. Boom mic operator, sound editing and music by Alan Smithy. Construction coordinator, The Amazing Rando. Makeup by Crayola. Catering was provided by the Soylent Corporation. Alan Smithy will be back in Return of the Curse of the Planet of the Prehistoric Bikini Ninjas versus Kingdom of the Bride of the Killer, Shark Cheerleaders 2, Electric Boogaloo.